time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. We got a great show for you guys today. I have some guests in the studio. We're going to talk turkeys and corn. Does that sound good? Anyway, it is currently at the Elk City Mezzanet. It's 89 degrees. The heat index is 92. Humidity's 51, so if you didn't get rained out in the hay field, you could be baling hay right now if you wanted to. The wind is out of the northeast, 4 miles an hour. Wind gusts up to a whopping 8 miles an hour. Here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet here inside our studio, it's 87 degrees. The text line is open. The KCO Ag text line is at 580-225-9697. Text me and tell me how much rain you got. There was some areas got some really good rain. There was some areas didn't get any rain. I can tell you my house got the dust was blowing out the driveway there when I left this morning. So anyway, but there was some good rains. We had a little fire on the river behind the house, and thank you Trevor Britton for bringing the dozer over and making a circle. The Carter Fire Department was there, but it was if you ever been down on the river around here on the North Fork of the Red River, it's not just easy access to get to stuff. But anyway, it's under control. How's that? Well, if you're wondering about turkeys and corn and whatever else in research, we got it coming up after the break, so don't go anywhere. First of all, let's do the grain prices going on, the futures. Corn for September is up this morning, 631. Corn for December is 627. March is 633. May is 636. Soybeans are way up today. And August futures is 1727. September is 1556. And November is 1453. Soybean meal, August 531. 20 a ton, $531.20 a ton. And then we got September's 463.30, 424.10 for October. Soybean oil for August is 71.44 cents a pound. September 67.21, October 66.12. Hard red winter wheat is way up again today. September's 876, December's 881. Oats for September is 449, December is 416 a bushel. Cotton is up a few cents today. It's $1.04 a pound for October and just a fraction away from being $1 a pound for December. And sugar is 18 cents. So Bill Dance, you've met Bill Dance, haven't you? Up there on the dam at Clinton Lake. Remember the guy that we thought was catching a hog and he had that ultralight fishing pole?
I was looking for that sugar today and I couldn't find it.
Yeah, there you go. Anyway, he's making money today because it's a little over 18 cents, and I think he was in at 17 cents. So if he makes 1,000 pounds, he'll make 10 bucks. So anyway, then we got, let's check out the cash grain prices at the elevators in Oklahoma and Texas. Hard red winter wheat today is 814 a bushel. Corn's at 729, and Milo's at 633, and soybeans is $14.82 a bushel. All right, well, we have a big show today, so I'm not going to talk about the what's going on in the world today. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to have Marcus Thibodeau and Cody Griffin. Did I say that right? Well, yeah, because I know some other ones down south in the breaks. Anyway, they're on here, and Marcus is with the Wildlife Department. He's actually the manager of Pack Saddle, Ellis County, and what else we got? Oh, you help out with Black Kettle.
Yep.
And you've been on a tour today, and I'm going to ask you about that tour today over there at Sandy Sanders. That's down in my country. And then Cody's with OSU. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, cool. All right, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying under the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction, Woodward, Oklahoma. For sale this Thursday, August 11th. We're expecting 3,000 cattle. We'll start the auction at 8 a.m. From Woodward, we've got 40 calves off the cow, weigh 4 to 6. Laverne, 30 calves off the cow. They're bull and heifer calves, 5 to 6. Morgan got 62 steers at 8. Gage, 25 steers at 8.5. Moreland, 107 steers at 8. Leedy got 50 steers and heifers, 8.5. Moreland got 72 steers at 8. Booker, 300 heifers, 5.5 to 7. They're yearlings. Moreland, 62 heifers at 7. Patman got 52 heifers, 7 to 8. And Seymour, Texas, 96 steers, 6 to 7. On Tuesday, we sold 1,080 cows, bulls, and kids with the top killing cow bringing 107. 10 of our cows bring $1 to $1.07. 48 cows bring 88.5 to 99. Very good market. We have a very competitive cow market with none of the buyers betting up. Then always on Thursday, you got 10 feeder buyers with lots of cattle going north. I stand green start to finish. Make sure we get the most we can for every head. You run under 1,000 head. Thanks, Jim Jerry Nine and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local iPro Feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
I'm back. 89 degrees, and we got 94 heat index with the wind out of the northeast. What's going on out there anyway? But anyway, it's a nice day compared to 100-degree days that we've been having. But, Marcus, you ever been on the Taylor Ranch?
I have.
How come?
A little fire over there.
The little Berlin fire, the little one?
Yeah.
But it was hot. But anyway, well, today is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour on Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. And Taylor Ranch sponsors me every Wednesday. And their excellent steak leaves a lasting impression. A steak that is full of flavor, has juiciness, and is tender is an eating experience so good it can still be remembered years later. Whether you would like to relive the mouth-watering event or experience for the first time, Taylor Ranch can help with that. They work every day to create the tremendous eating experience by selecting genetics that enhance the marbling, the ribeye, and tenderness of every calf. They develop every animal if it was going to be served on their own table. That's Taylor Ranch. Their beef is available in quarters, halves, or whole. Third-party verified, all natural, and hormone-free, also available. Call Mr. Jimmy Taylor at 405-609-4662, and he'll hook you up. Him and Tracy both will hook you guys up with some great beef, and appreciate you being the Happy Cap Hour sponsor for Wednesday. Well, I got Marcus Thibodeau. He's my favorite French Quarters guy from Louisiana. He's the WMA manager for Pack Saddle and for Ellis County WMAs. And also on the show with me today is Cody Griffin, and he's with OSU. And Cody, tell everybody what exactly your title is and what you do. Where are you from to start with?
Yeah, I'll kind of give everybody a little rundown of why I'm here. So I'm originally from Lawton, so you can kind of call me almost a local boy. Went to Oklahoma State for my bachelor's, went to Texas Tech for my master's, moved to Florida for a work vacation, right, for 6 years. And now I'm back here in Oklahoma.
So you was in Florida for 6 years on a vacation? Were you raised
work
by a nanny?
Vacation.
Were you raised by a nanny?
No.
Anyways, and so you're back here.
I'm back.
And you're with OSU.
Yes, sir.
All right, cool. Well, welcome to the show. Marcus has been on here, I think, this year, third or fourth time since we started the show a little over a year ago.
I'm going to start charging Blake for appearances, I think.
Why don't you just ask him permission? You probably go on his land anyway. So it doesn't matter.
I got reminded we're on Facebook Live.
Yeah.
From buddy Zane Kinneman.
What did we do wrong?
He just told me that I had a face for radio. So
cool. Well, anyway, we're going to... Marcus, we announced it on the show the last time he was on here a few months ago, but you are now the turkey biologist for the Rio Grande for Oklahoma, right?
Yeah, the Rio Grande Wild Turkey Coordinator. So that's why Cody's up here. He's the PhD candidate working on our turkey research project for the Rio Grande turkeys in western Oklahoma.
Okay, so you guys explain to us what you're going to do.
I can go ahead and explain. So in probably early December, we'll start to trap turkeys. And when we trap them, we're going to put transmitters on them, so they're little backpacks. Initially, we had thought we were going to use VHF. So VHF it sends out a ping in a frequency. So you have an antenna and a little radio, and you can pick up that frequency. But you have to physically track the turkeys to know where they're at and where they're going. And so it takes a lot of manpower and a lot of time. We're proposing now to buy GPS transmitters. So with these things, about the same weight, and it's a backpack, goes around the body like a little backpack, and it sends us GPS points in fixed intervals. So like every hour, you could even do it every 5 minutes, depending on how much battery life your transmitter has. So we're going to put those backpack transmitters on them, and we can track them, specifically hens, until they go to nest. And then we'll assess nest survival, and hopefully we can get some poults, and then we'll assess brood survival.
Brood survival.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just to address the turkey decline that we've had statewide, and especially in western Oklahoma, so this project is going to be kind of headquartered out of Sandy Sanders WMA, and working with private landowners around, you know, Sandy Sanders, Greer County, Beckham County, you know, where we can get that permission to trap the turkeys, because it looks like our issue is reproduction, right? We're not making enough turkeys, so trying to figure out why that is. You know, some of it's going to be habitat, of course. That's always the, you know, the parallel that I use is, you know, when you have something broke on your truck, but you can fix all these little things to make it still run, but you're ignoring the big issue.
Right.
It's kind of like what habitat is for wildlife management. People like to do all these little things to make up for the big problem, which is, you know, cutting the cedar trees, prescribed fires, things like that. So, you know, when we talk about quail, turkey, whatever, you know, it's a death by a thousand cuts. So let's try to figure out what the biggest bleeders are and how we can address that.
Right. Yeah, because there's, you know how involved I am with quail, and you know, you can do so much to help quail, but that doesn't mean the population's going to come back. So you have to, you know, like I said, find out what the biggest bleeder is, and habitat usually ends up being one of the biggest ones.
Yeah, Western Oklahoma, our biggest limiting factor to Rio Grande turkeys is roost tree availability. It's not that we don't have any roost trees, it's that a majority of them are choked out by cedar trees to where turkeys can't utilize them. That's why we've done so many, I mean, I think I've done over $1 million in cedar tree cutting through the NWTF on Pack Saddle, Black Kettle, Ellis County, and we promote it all the time. We have the roost trees there, and it takes a long time to grow a cottonwood big enough for turkeys to utilize, but right. It doesn't take very long for those cedar trees to make it unusable.
Right. Yeah, we lost a big cottonwood in a windstorm here about a month ago or two down there on the river. It just made me sick because I know those turkeys use that tree. I mean, it's just one of those 100-year-old cottonwoods. I don't know how big around it is at the bottom, but it just made me sick.
And all these wildfires that we've been having are going to hurt us.
I mean,
when it gets into those draws and starts going through all those cedar trees and burning up the cottonwoods, we're going to be looking at some alternatives,
because you know,
it takes a long time to grow a cottonwood tree.
That's a kind of a sore subject, or I don't know what to call it. One side of a double-edged blade's dull, and the other is really sharp. You know, you've seen them burning all those cedars up on the Salt Fork of the Red River down there south of Mangum, that big fire here a while back. I don't know if you got to go to that or not.
I was on a different one.
Yeah, all right. And it's great to see those cedars go up, but at the same time, those fires are so hot, it just disintegrates some cottonwoods.
Yeah, so I mean, we're gonna start looking at that a little bit. Temporary stuff. They do make like artificial roosts for turkeys, but I don't know too much about it, so I don't preach it to anybody. I'm gonna try to look into it a lot more.
A lot more, and they
and cut cedar trees. I mean, I've got guys cutting cedar trees at Black Kettle right now, 105 acres through the NWTF, and we're getting ready to start a 2,000 acre project at Pack Saddle cutting cedar trees for turkeys. So hopefully everybody sees that and sees how well the turkeys do when you provide that habitat and it takes off.
Yeah. So how does the cedars affect the turkeys? You was talking about it. Does it just crowd an area where they can't fly up, or what's
the deal? if it's within 75 feet of a cottonwood tree, the turkeys can't pitch up into that tree. They just can't get the right angle. And then with all that cover underneath it, they don't. You know, some people speculate it makes them not even feel safe. Even if they can get into it, they know that the predators are going to be around there. And, you know, the predator push has really been popular on social media. But
no.
If you don't want predators, make good turkey habitat.
You know how many guys loading up chainsaws, turkey hunters loading up chainsaws right now and headed to the woods?
Yeah, I mean, when people ask me about predators and why don't people trap, and you know, what regulation can I change today to make you go trap more predators? And instead of spending all winter trying to trap raccoons and bobcats and coyotes, why not just do the habitat work? It's gonna be, you know, that you'll just have to do once every 5 years,
right,
instead of trapping every day throughout the winter every year.
And habitat is a really big component for our research as well. There's been very little research on Rios, and especially in Oklahoma, so we really don't know what habitats they're selecting for nesting or brood rearing or even foraging. So understanding if they do stay away from places that are dominated by cedars or mesquite would be crucial, especially from a habitat management perspective. So that's going to provide some very good data for ODWC and for turkeys in general.
Right. And yeah, because you know, a lot of people compare quail and turkey together, you know, but turkeys are in a little better position most of the time to protect their nest compared to quail are.
Yeah, and a turkey will scare. There's videos of hen turkeys on nests, you know, scaring away coyotes and raccoons and stuff like that. They'll fight to protect theirs.
Right, and quail, they're just the little guy on the block.
They're getting out of there.
Yeah, I guess they just get out of there because there's nothing they can do about it. And yeah, turkeys are aggressive. I mean, more aggressive than people. I've seen them attack snakes.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they'll peck them to death. You know, they're not scared. They're scared of humans maybe, but
they're scared of me.
Well, they yeah. Anyway, I read a report you guys published here. Was you part of that research on the southeastern turkey deal?
It's not me, but I did actually go out there and help a little bit to capture some poults. But that's another grad student. She's a master's student at Oklahoma State.
Yep. And so that's what you're going to do over here.
Pretty much copy the same thing that she's doing over there, but maybe have a few other extra things. Being a PhD, I kind of have to little go above and beyond kind of the basic stuff. So that's all to be determined. I still have to, you know, have a proposal sent to my committee and all that stuff. So I do want to have some interesting things that I want to explore down there.
So you talked about what you're going to do. You're going to put those tracking collars on the turkeys, mainly the hens. I mean, you're not going to track any toms, I don't guess. Is there any reason to?
Well, because what Marcus said earlier is that reproduction is really the limiting factor for these guys. So to understand reproduction, we really need to understand nest survival. So we're going to focus on hens, maybe figure out if any hens are forego nesting or any hens that just their nest fail or even successful nests. So we want to focus on hens and not so much on male turkeys.
Right. Well, this is the thing I noticed about the hens this year. Usually we do have droughts, but this year the drought was in our wheat crop and our rye crop, and there wasn't a lot of cover because they do go, and you know how many combines go out there and scare up hens off their nests and stuff like that, because we're big open country out here. This year there wasn't a lot of cover, and then we hadn't had any rain since basically last September during their nesting season, and the grass hadn't been growing. So I thought it was just going to be a disastrous year. But in that area where I live at and that I take care of cattle and stuff, I actually seen some pretty nice size groups of babies.
Yeah, our poult survey, so, you know, part of me coming into this position is we developed some more surveys. You know, we're taking it a lot more serious, right? When we had turkeys everywhere, it was a pretty nice job to have, right?
Yeah, but not now.
Now, kind of under the microscope, and we've added some surveys, and one of them's poult surveys, you know, to kind of try to backtrack when people are seeing poults and what size they are to when that peak nesting or peak hatch date was, to try to get some trend data going.
Yeah.
First year that we've done it as a department. And from what I'm seeing in western Oklahoma, it's definitely spotty. You know, like Roger Mills, Ellis County, we're seeing poults. We're seeing good numbers of poults. Beckham County, I'm not getting a lot of reports from, not seeing many birds when I go look. Down Greer County, stuff like that, it's hit or miss. It looks like there's definitely places where if they did nest and try, it looked like they did really good. And then there's other spots where you're having a hard time just finding a turkey, which is why we focus this research in Greer County. That's kind of the heart of this decline in western Oklahoma.
It's Greer County.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I have Marcus Thibodeau, WMA manager for the Oklahoma Wildlife Department at Pack Saddle in Ellis County, and I got my brain just went dead. Cody Griffin, my brain went dead. Cody Griffin from OSU, he is heading up the Turkey Rio Grande Turkey study that'll be going on in southwest Oklahoma, starting probably right now, but the real part will be in December when you start trapping turkeys. So anyway, we'll be right back after this. Is Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 8th. 1,597 head were sold. 9 head of steers at 360 brought 228. 5 at 511 brought 185. 14 at 740 brought 173. 13 at 807 brought 175.50. 20 at 845 brought 170.50. 4 head of heifers at 353 brought 185. 13 at 525 brought 172. 4 at 603 brought 177. 6 at 728 brought 164. 17 at 922 brought 156. Butcher cows were 35 to 100. Butcher bulls brought 35 to 117. Pairs were 960 to 1225. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Farmers Trust Farm Bureau agent Mickey Lively, because he's a farmer himself.
I think they trust me because I can relate to them to begin with. I mean, I farm, I run cattle, I understand their business, I understand, you know, what needs to be protected, how it needs to be protected. I understand how important, I mean, that's their life, that's their livelihood. And I understand they need, you know, they need insurance on that tractor. They need to make sure that those cattle are insured if a storm comes through, because if it damages that stuff, they just lost their business. I get that, I understand it, I live the same life, I enjoy it, and I understand what they do. To me, that's something of a little bit of comfort level. People know they can call me anytime, and they can. I mean, I really mean that.
I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County, and my job is to protect your business. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back. It is currently 90 degrees, heat index at 94. I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast coming up with you here in just a little bit. Matter of fact, I talked to Joe Bob down there this morning. We're looking for a special shotgun for a special sponsor of the Quail Forever Banquet coming up. And have you ever been to one of those Quail Forever Banquets, Marcus?
I speak at a lot of them, but Elk City's my favorite.
Yeah, it's a good time. I won't deny that one bit. I got a question for you guys. Come in on the text line. They want to know if, says, ask that biologist. So that could be either one of you, right?
Right.
It depends on what the question is.
If that huge hailstorm we had last spring killed off a bunch of the turkeys.
Turkeys are really hardy animals, so can there be hailstorms that kill turkeys? Absolutely, right?
There's the baseball and softball size hail.
But we get hail every year.
And we still have turkeys.
We still have turkeys. There's turkeys that live in those northern states that get huge snowstorms and horrible winters every winter. They still have turkeys. Now, during the nesting season, can it affect them? We've documented that in some studies, like I said, at Pack Saddle when we were running GPS transmitters on hen turkeys looking at nests. There can be some nests that are just in a bad spot, and we do lose them, but one hailstorm's not going to make or break a season. If it does, we're in a pretty bad spot to start with anyways, and that's not our, you know, we were going to lose them anyways probably. But is that a big thing? No. You're going to have very small percentages of that being impactful.
Well, if they got good habitat.
Yeah.
If they have good habitat, yeah, it comes back to habitat. They can hide those nests pretty good.
Yeah, and it all comes down to it. So. Yeah.
And also, these hailstorms are pretty isolated anyway. So, right. You know, they're not going to cover swaths of area, right? They're just going to be pretty isolated to a specific area. And if they continue moving down, it's highly unlikely they'll cover a large area, so not too big of a deal. But if there are nests, they will be impacted.
It's like anything else. Anything and everything in the wild will affect anything, but whether it's just a total...
It'd have to be a really bad hailstorm because those hens will stay on top of the nest and protect it if it is exposed.
Have you ever documented one going through a tornado?
Maybe we will. GPS
maybe we'll get GPS points going circular. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, you're doing southwestern Oklahoma, and so you're back home, and you know there's tornadoes here.
Definitely. Yeah.
So anyway, I'm gonna bring up a sore subject: corn. That's social media drives me crazy because you don't know whether to believe and or not believe. So corn and aflatoxin. What do you think?
Yeah, aflatoxin is really starting to gain some notoriety and become a public issue. It's a fungus that grows on corn. All corn will get it. It's a fungus, so fungus needs moisture and heat. So if you're feeding corn right now, do you think it's got some moisture and some heat? I guarantee it's going to get some heat in western Oklahoma. And even a small amount of moisture, like morning dew, anything like that, it's going to grow that aflatoxin. And it grows pretty quick. So some research has shown that if you take certified aflatoxin-free corn and put it outside 7 days, it's got...
signs of
100 parts per billion, which 70 starts causing liver failure in turkeys.
Okay.
And a turkey can get enough aflatoxin from one feeding event at that 70 mark to cause liver damage and acute liver failure. So
we were talking a little bit earlier before the show started, and so if a hen's into the contaminated corn before she lays eggs, and then the breeding season, does it affect what's in those eggs?
Yeah, laying eggs is the hardest thing a female bird of any species can do on their body. So if, you know, that corn's not going to kill them on the spot, but it's going to degrade their body condition.
Right.
So with, if they're not feeling good, if they're feeling sick, if they even breed, you're going to see a reduced clutch size, more than likely won't see a re-nesting attempt. And then, you know, ultimately, if they continue to eat that contaminated corn, it will kill them.
It's a slow death.
Yeah, well, and, you know, at that degraded body condition, they're more susceptible to the predators and things like that. So,
even considering weather, like this summer, can you imagine being
sick,
and it's this hot, and, you know, you're already kind of stressed at this point, so.
Yeah, we can go in and turn the air conditioner on and feel better. They can't do it.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, I mean, you want to compare apples to apples there. So what's, without getting in trouble, Marcus, what's your recommendation? What do you guys recommend people do as far as, like, the corn concern?
There's safer alternatives. You know, if you want to feed something because it makes you feel good for your quail and turkey, feed some Milo. But if you want to just be more cost-effective, plan a food plot.
Yeah.
I mean... plan a little half-acre, quarter-acre food plot. It doesn't have to be huge. You're going to get the same benefits out of it for every species. You're not going to just be pouring corn into one spot, hurting the wildlife and getting lots of pictures of raccoons on your trail camera. I mean, there's... A corn feeder doesn't help anything except for the person hunting a deer where they want to see a deer stand.
Right. I take the deer feeder is, it's just like going home, stopping at the beer joint on your way home. That's, or going to work. That's, I mean, that's all it is. It's a stop. Does it pattern deer? Them deer are going to come by there anyway. I got mixed feelings about the deer feeders. You know, I think the automatic ones, I think they're, deer and bale for hogs, and we got enough hogs in Greer County and Beckham County to last forever that we need to get rid of. And I do use feeders. I am not going to lie. I use self feeders, and it's costly. Yeah, it's costly because it's open to the world. I mean, they can eat all they want, but even if you have, like you said earlier, even if you've got tested corn, What'd you say? 7 days?
Yeah, about 7 days is what they showed. So, and that was done like in states that have a lot more mild temperatures than we do. So Western Oklahoma, you can only imagine how much quicker of a process that is.
Right, especially with the heat.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, and this year I didn't get the advice from you. I had time this year. I got food plots planted, and so it's brown millet and high gear mixed together. So every animal out there ought to be happy with me. And I wanted to plant some legumes in there, but when you got 200 or 300 deer on a 120-acre field, the legumes don't last long.
No,
it's like throwing out Reese cups out there for a bunch of kids. It's gone.
Yeah, they'll dig it up. It'll look like a bomb went off. Those deer will get after it.
Well, they have you got landowners lined up for your study so far?
So far, I've talked to one. It was actually kind of by chance. So I was just looking at this birding website, and I found this guy. He kept popping up with locations of birds and turkeys, and I was like, who is this guy? So eventually I tracked him down, and turns out he actually owns some land near Vincent. So I went down there, met with him, he toured me the area, and we actually saw some turkeys while we were out there.
So, well, that's a good start.
So that's a very good start, and he has a couple draws, so there's some cottonwoods, potential roosting trees, but like everyone else, he said, you know, we would see hundreds of turkeys, now we're seeing 20, 10,
right.
You know. So we're going to have to cast a large net to get landowner access so we can catch some turkeys as far as we can around this area, and we're still working towards that.
Yeah, I bet you'll have some really good luck around here because there's not as many, but there's areas that some people never even see any declines with turkeys.
And everybody's concerned about it.
Yeah, it's 100%.
They want to help.
Did the season change on the turkeys? Did it help?
Yeah, definitely. We saw breeding activities, you know, when we moved the season back, we did that because we showed from the research we were doing that our season was a little too early. We were hunting turkeys before they started breeding. And so moving the season back 2 weeks, it allowed those turkeys to start breeding and to get a lot of the breeding out of the way before we started hunting them. And especially like Roger Mills County, which, you know, Black Kettle, famous nationwide for Rio Grande turkey hunting, we get tons of pressure. You know, those birds were able to breed without being pressured before all the hunters showed up and started harassing them and making their impact on them. So it made a big, I feel like it made a really big difference. And was
it had to. We delay it, what, a month?
About 2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah. We didn't lose any days. We just moved it back 2 weeks.
Right. And like I said, even where I live at, you know, I see a lot of turkeys, but I never did see a lot of poults, you know. But this year, I seen a lot of poults crossing the road, you know, daybreak in the morning, and you look over there and there's the cottonwood, you know, they just come from over there. So it's pretty fun watching the turkeys expand into their, and there's habitat there.
Yeah, I mean, I can't preach getting rid of those cedar trees enough. I mean, we'll go into some of those Black Kettle units that we've never seen a turkey track on, and we've got turkeys showing up before the heavy equipment's even out of there when they're cutting those cedar trees down. So
yeah, cedars, and you just come from Sandy Sanders.
Yeah, I was down there this morning looking around.
There's a lot of junipers down there, isn't there?
Quite a few.
Yeah, and I know he's been working. I've been in that area down there, west of the old headquarters where it was, and you go through there, and you know, I think he has a full-time skid loader down there, doesn't he?
Yeah, and where I was at today, they've got some contractors going through there and cutting them and spraying them. So
and they just, how many acres did he just add down there? 8,000?
Yeah, something crazy.
Yeah, and it's all west of the highway there coming from Eric
off going the Elm Fork.
Yeah, and there's a lot of difference. It's not that far to Pack Saddle, but there's a lot of difference in the drought, isn't there?
I'm going to stop complaining about my stuff because I've seen y'all's. It's a whole different level of dry.
Yeah, I mean, you can get a rain. You can get 1 inch rain down there, and an hour later walk across there and that grass is crunching.
The grasshoppers were looking for something to eat. It's so bad down there.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to do the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger Forecast. I got One question, one of you two can answer. Coming in off the Jimmy text line, so be prepared.
This better be appropriate.
It is. Okay, I got to know, how do you trap a turkey?
Oh, we use big drop nets with explosives, so we will bait them to one spot.
They're not blowing turkeys up.
No, the nets are propelled by explosives.
There you go.
So we net them, and then we wrestle them and work them up.
Yeah. Have you ever had to get stitches?
I haven't. I told you, turkeys are scared of me.
Huh?
I told you, they're scared of me. They know to behave.
You're such a bad boy from Louisiana. Anyway, actually, Lawton. yeah, he takes back. Very cool. Anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I got Marcus Thibodeau with the Paxsaddle WMA, big boss there, and Cody Griffin from OSU. He'll be doing the Rio Grande turkey study down here in southwestern Oklahoma.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today, and we'll have a truck headed your way.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, August 5th. 1,634 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 255 brought 216. 5 at 433 brought 169. 6 at 466 brought 187. 4 at 510 brought 171. 9 at 725 brought 169. 4 head of heifers at 266 brought 203. 5 at 416 brought 179. 10 at 516 brought 164. 3 at 550 brought 165. 9 at 677 brought 154.50. Butcher cows were 32 to 95.50. Butcher bulls brought 71 to 117. Bred cows were 800 to 1325. Pairs brought 500 to 1335. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Degrees, heat index is 93, the winds are calm. They don't even give me a direction. They're calm right now. Looks like somebody from Taylor, Oklahoma, which is south of Trigger, south Elk, on the way to Retrop, got 4 tenths. Donnie at Grimes got 4 tenths. No, wait a minute. Let me back up. I'm sorry. I got to mess with this guy today. He called yesterday, and one of his rains, he got 5.5 tenths. OK, Chase, see, Donnie? Marcus even laughed when I said that. How hard is it to say 5,500s?
Wow.
Or a little over a half inch, as most rednecks would say. But no, he told me he had 5.5 tenths.
That's impressive.
Yeah. So anyway, me and my farming buddies get me in trouble. 5.5 tenths. This morning he had another 3.5 tenths. So anyway, so he got close to an inch.
It'll be interesting to see what he says when he gets a gets an inch of rain.
Yeah. Is it going to be 10 tenths?
Yeah.
Or 9.5 tenths plus a half a tenth? So anyway, today, mostly sunny, 95 degrees. Tomorrow, 96. Friday, 95. Saturday, 96. Sunday is when we start our trend upward back towards the 100-degree triple digits. Man, the Long Ranger way down there next week. We have 2 or 3 good chances of rain next week, which is great. And there's a lot of areas got rain. There's a lot of areas didn't get rain yesterday. So this is one of those deals that happens. It's cotton showers, but they were fierce lightning. There was a lot of lightning with that storm yesterday. That one started that fire on the river behind my house, so we got it going there. But what I am noticing that I really like right now that would be good for everybody's gardens is the low temperatures tonight or for the rest of the week up until Sunday night is going to be below 70, and that's good for gardens because it's going to let the plants cool down at night. Even farming, corn, sorghum, whatever's growing out there right now, alfalfa, everything can cool down a little bit better with the temperatures in the upper 60s for the rest of the week. Well, I have Marcus Thibodeau and Scott Griffin, but that's not correct. Oh. Cody.
I thought you was going to say Scotty Webb. I tried to get him to come today.
Yeah, from down at Sandy Sanders. Yeah. And so anyway, and I want to give a big shout out over there in the Delhi area to Miss Blaze. She is one of my listeners over there, Blaze Vaught, and she's a cutie. So anyway, she gives me a big shout out to her and her mom. So anyway, big shout out to you guys.
George Springer from Crawford wanted a shout out. He said he's your number one fan.
Oh, is he on the Crawford Fire Department?
Yeah.
I think the first time, when you said that earlier, my brain's working a little bit more better now. he was on the Berlin Fire, right?
Oh, I don't know. I broke down before I could get.
Oh, that's right. You broke down before you got there. But anyway, Crawford and I can't remember. I think Willow and a couple of Cheyenne units, or no, it was Raiden units, were parked down there at the cattle guard by Jimmy's lots down there, taking a break and getting refuel and water. So anyway, I love my fire department guys. You know I do. And you guys been pretty busy. We got one, Jim Ed, Texas, in 1 1/10.
Just 1 1/10 or 1 inch and a tenth?
No, he says 1 1/10. So that reminds me of my buddy at Grimes that says 5.5 tenths. You guys didn't have a very good math teacher wherever you went to school at. So anyway, speaking of Jim Ed, they got watermelon going at Walgreens parking lot, 3rd and Main, and at Randall, and 3rd at the Sweet Spot there on the corner. If anybody's needing any watermelons, these guys can hook you up. And right before you guys got here, there was a gentleman from Sayre hand-delivered me a really nice basket full of squash, okra, yellow squash, okra, some peppers, and some other stuff. This celebrity deal's starting to pay off for me.
You've got a garden.
I know. This is even better. I don't have to eat what I grow. His looked a little healthier than mine. My garden it's terrible this year. I'm one of those guys that didn't. I thought I was a super gardener, but I'm not. Between grasshoppers, army worms, I will warn you guys that the last week over there where I'm irrigating, I've seen a lot of the gray moss. And that tells me the army worms are in the neighborhood. So keep an eye out on your alfalfa and whatever else you're growing. They're in the area. And that's just a 20-acre field, and I'm seeing thousands of them. I can't imagine what they're doing elsewhere.
That's pretty bad last year.
Yeah, they got really bad. So stock up on the Dawn Disil for your yard. You're not going to be able to afford that to do it on your agriculture fields. Well, let's finish up the show. We got about 5 minutes left, and we talked about your experiment you're getting ready to do. I guess it's not an experiment, it's a study.
A study, yeah. Yeah.
And so I don't have my PhD like you guys do, but anyway, I'm excited for what you guys are going to do because it's going to tell a lot.
Yeah, you know, we're doing this on the western side of the state, the eastern side of the state, you know, the genetic sampling statewide that we really pushed during the spring hunting season. So, you know, we're doing everything we can to try to see what we can do to help turn this turkey decline around.
Yeah, turkey research in Oklahoma is exploding, and that's a good thing. It's been lacking, so it's good to see how much effort's being put in right now.
Are you guys going to do a study in the future? I know you're going to hate me when I ask this. Are you going to do a study in the future how to decrease the deer herd? They're not going to say nothing. I knew it. Anyway.
You always want what you don't have, right?
I know. It's just, man, there's areas that just terrible. And Lieutenant James and Captain Jeff, they help out a lot. You know, we got those tags they can do. My wife texted in. You want to hear what she's got to say? Be kind about people's math. Maybe they do math like you spell. Probably true. So do you want to ask landowners to you want to tell them how to get a hold of you? You want to do it the way you're doing it?
Sure, yeah. If anyone wants to contribute and they know they have turkeys and roost and is willing to let us come out and trap, please feel free to contact us. You can probably easier to contact ODWC and just let them know that you're interested, and they can forward that information to Marcus, and then he can forward it to me, and then we can all kind of talk about it, and we can give you a call and set up a meeting and come and look at your property, and hopefully we can catch some turkeys.
Yeah, you should be able to. In my area, I'm seeing a few more. You know, I don't see none down there in the breaks where I'm at.
Turkeys are hard. You know, it takes, if we have a good production this year, we got to hold on to them for 3 years to have a good number of longbeards.
Right.
So it's playing the long game.
Because turkeys, not only are they're great to watch in the wild, but they're important to our economy. Especially in western Oklahoma.
Yeah, there's a lot of people come to western Oklahoma to hunt Rio Grande turkeys.
Yeah, they sure are. And then, let's see, one more text. I'll read it before I ask this time. Funny. It was supposed to be funny. Oh, I text you. Oh, he said it wasn't 1 1/10. It was 11/10.
Oh.
I guess I'm not as good at math as I thought I was. Anyway, 11/10. What's that? 1 1/10.
Yep.
1 1/10. Well, there's the music. And thank you so much, Marcus and Cody, for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and we'll do this again, Marcus.
Anytime.
And then when you get some trapping done.
I'll be in town.
Yeah, you'll be in town. And when you get that done this winter, come back on and tell us exactly what you've done. You don't have to tell where, but you can tell what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and God bless.